I'm Kurt Anderson in Studio 360 today with the African novelist Emmanuel Dongala, and we're talking about what happens when artists are forced to leave their homelands. In the middle of the last century, World War II displaced millions of Europeans, and many intellectuals and artists who escaped the Nazis found an unlikely refuge in Hollywood. Imagine Arnold Schoenberg playing tennis with George Gershwin in Brentwood, or Igor Stravinsky taking a meeting with Walt Disney in Burbank. Correspondent Jeff London has the story of the Hollywood composers and musicians who escaped Germany and ended up in the movies.
During the 1920s, many of Europe's most talented composers were drawn to Germany. According to music historian Dorothy Lamb Crawford, this period was something of a creative panacea.
I think that the Weimar Republic in Germany pre-Hitler was a situation where modern artists of all kinds were coddled, perhaps more than they had been since, I don't know, Elizabethan England. There was such an appetite for all that was modern, all that was new.
But of course, appetites change, and all this artistic freedom came to a crashing halt with the rise of the Nazis. Beginning in 1933, all German musicians were forced to register their race and religion with the Third Reich. 5 years later, the Nazis sponsored an exhibition in Dusseldorf of what they called Entartete Musik, degenerate music. And the music of many of Germany and Austria's most talented contemporary composers, Arnold Schoenberg, Erich Wolfgang Korngold, and Franz Waxman among them, was officially banned. But by 1938, these gentlemen had already fled Europe, along with scores of others, and made their way to, of all places, Hollywood. Conductor Leonard Slatkin grew up in Hollywood in the 40s, where his father was the principal violinist at 20th Century Fox, and his mother was the principal cellist at Warner Brothers. During their off hours, they formed one half of the Hollywood String Quartet, which performed works by Schoenberg and Hindemith. But during the day, it was anything goes.
The orchestra was hired to play whatever was put in front of them, and sometimes it was Bugs Bunny, and sometimes it was Victor Mature or a 20th. You never knew.
Much of the music Slatkin's American-born parents played in the studios was written by conservatory-trained European exiles who had begun their careers writing concert music and opera. These immigrants helped to create the quintessential Hollywood sound when film scoring was still in its infancy. One of the best-known exile composers was Erich Wolfgang Korngold. Born in Vienna in 1897, Korngold had been a musical prodigy. By his late teens, he was writing opera, and his admirers included Strauss and Puccini. Korngold came to Hollywood in 1934 and composed lush romantic film scores like The Seahawk, The Adventures of Robin Hood, and the aptly titled Between Two Worlds. According to Leonard Slatkin, Korngold
saw the film as the middle of the century's answer for the decline in opera, for instance. It was another use of music for dramatic form.
Another major figure was Franz Waxman, who composed film music in Germany. But in 1933, he was beaten up by Nazi thugs on a Berlin street and fled to Paris. In France, he met up with other exiles, including director Billy Wilder, and made his way to Hollywood. Waxman ended up writing 144 film scores, as well as the famous MGM fanfare. Waxman is the only composer to have won the Academy Award 2 years in a row for Sunset Boulevard and A Place in the Sun. His favorite score was for Alfred Hitchcock's Rebecca. Franz Waxman's son, John, runs a company that licenses Hollywood scores to symphony orchestras. He describes his father as an early 20th century composer, trained in 19th century music, and that's how he wrote. But John Waxman says his father never apologized for composing music that was considered passé in the concert hall.
He used to say, good music is good music. And another quote is, you know, if it's good enough for Honegger and Prokofiev, film music is good enough for me.
Not all the émigrés who arrived in Hollywood had the same level of success. Avant-garde composer Ernst Krenek, who was hugely successful in his native Austria, had to support himself with menial teaching and music copying jobs while he composed concert pieces in L.A. And Leonard Slatkin says that when it came to movie music, some of the exiles in Hollywood preferred to remain anonymous.
One of my own teachers, Mario Castelnuovo-Tedesco, wrote film scores. He was one of those who really didn't want to put his name onto the film world. And he went by various and sundry pseudonyms, and many times simply was uncredited. But he made his living writing music for movies as well.
Castelnuovo Tedesco, an Italian Jew who fled the fascists, is one of the many Southern California-based émigrés who had their work performed in a chamber music series called Evenings on the Roof. Conceived by a civil servant named Peter Yates, the concerts literally began in an attic studio above his home in the Hollywood Hills, and soon became an important part of the intellectual life of Los Angeles. Many of the performers were both studio musicians and European exiles. According to Dorothy Lamb Crawford, who wrote a history of the concert series, they hungered for another musical outlet.
They were playing what they called footballs, which were whole notes. I mean, they were sitting in the dark, playing these film scores, which had been written very, very quickly, perhaps orchestrated very brilliantly, but they missed what they'd been trained for.
Music to hear, why hear'st thou music sadly? Sweets with sweets were not.
The series frequently presented the works of two of Hollywood's most celebrated émigrés, Igor Stravinsky, who moved to California in 1940 and who wrote his Shakespeare songs for Evenings on the Roof, and Arnold Schoenberg, the father of 12-tone music, who taught at UCLA. Marnie Nixon was a young American singer who developed her craft in the chamber series. She says this was not the only outlet for new music in Los Angeles.
Franz Waxman had a music festival that was performed at UCLA, and it was a big, huge festival, and we did a lot of Stravinsky pieces there.
Franz Waxman started the two-week Los Angeles Music Festival in 1947. Over the next 20 years, the festival featured 70 world or West Coast premieres, including Stravinsky's Aegon. Most of the players were studio musicians who Waxman paid out of his own pocket. Waxman's interest in presenting contemporary music from all over the world brought him an unexpected honor.
My father received the Verdienstkreuz, which is the highest honor that a German national can receive from its government, the Federal Republic of West Germany, for the promotion of contemporary German music. I mean, the country that he left, that essentially threw him out, gives him this award 25 years later.
Waxman never forgot where he came from. His last concert work, which premiered posthumously, was a setting of poems from the concentration camp Theresienstadt. Waxman, Korngold, and their fellow émigrés were the lucky ones. Countless talented composers and musicians were among those who perished at the hands of the Nazi regime. Yet out of this tragic situation grew a vital musical community in Hollywood. Conductor Leonard Slatkin says it was a golden era.
Because of the studio system and the contracts, most of them had outlets to present music in the way they wanted to. It was a very good time.
For Studio 360, I'm Jeff London.